Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Miss college football.
Jenty, his first touch. And typical Ashton Jenty. Look at him go! You can't bring him down! Is he? Yes, he will!
We can't wait for the 2025 season.
Bo Howard with third and 11. He'll throw it. He's going for it. Jeremiah Smith, one-on-one. Game, set, match. Whenever you needed it, you got it. Will Howard to Jeremiah.
And we're counting down the days to kickoff.
Are we there yet?
No.
Are we there yet?
I said no.
Are we there yet?
What's wrong with your ears?
Here is your college football fix, only on the Zach Gelb Show.
51 days until Georgia Tech kicks off their upcoming football season. They'll be doing so up against the Colorado Buffaloes. It was a successful season last year for Haynes King and company. And we're looking forward to see what they have in store for this 2025 season. And now joining us is a warrior. He is one of the toughest players in all of college football entering this season, and that, of course, is the quarterback of the Yellow Jackets in Haynes King. Haynes, appreciate the time. Thanks so much for doing this. How you been?
Doing pretty good. You know, just summer workouts and getting in shape and, you know, football.
Yeah, right? Well, it's almost here, 51 days until the games actually start to count. Last year, and really the last 2 years, especially with Brent Key being there full-time as the head coach, this program has got back to respectability. They got back to moving in the right direction. I'm just wondering, after getting some taste of success and having some improvement, what's the mindset? Where's the confidence level of this group as you guys get set for another season of Georgia Tech football?
I'd say confidence level is extremely high right now with the whole team. You know, we're running fast, lifting heavy, and, you know, we're doing a couple team bonding, getting to know each other because the camaraderie and the closer that we are together, the more we know each other and the more we can push each other to take that next step. And with that being said, like that's our biggest goal this year is what do we have to do to take that next step?
What do you think is the next step for this program? What do you think you guys could accomplish? The ACC, you know, Clemson, Reno, how good they could be. You guys have had back-to-back 7-win seasons. The next step is what for this program?
I feel like the next step is, you know, one, ACC champion, and two, being in the playoffs and winning the national championship.
Haynes King here with us. And, you know, this year there's a lot of praise, right? You've seen both sides of it where you've been praised, where people have also written you off. You know, no one's sleeping on Georgia Tech this year. You're getting a lot of praise individually. Your team, it feels like they're on the rise with what they've done the last 2 years. Has there been any complacency? Have you felt that this summer? Or do you feel as if this group is as hungry as ever?
I feel like this group is as hungry as ever. You know, we don't like the word complacency, and we don't, you know, allow that to happen. We don't coach it here. You know, competition eliminates that. If everybody's in competition and competing each and every day, coming in there trying to get better, that's going to eliminate the complacency in our program.
You know, when I write down a few things to describe you, I say toughness, warrior, and you just know how to win. I know you come from a football family, but where does that stuff really come from in terms of there's just a great desire when I see you play on the field and you'll be willing to do anything, literally run through a brick wall kind of feel to go get a victory?
You know, I got to thank God, thank my family and how they raised me, first of all. But, you know, deep down is, you know, the will to win, the hate to lose. You know, I don't like losing, and you know, I want to make my parents happy and you know, make them proud of what I've done, and don't want to let any of them down. And you know, that also comes with, you know, where I'm from as well, back home in Longview. You just want to make everybody proud and show them that you can do that and who you are and what all you've worked with, or what all you've worked for since you've been growing up.
And a lot of people, when they talk to you, they'll talk about the Georgia game and that thriller from last year. But I want to bring up the Miami game first. You basically were playing with one shoulder and you went toe to toe and you outdueled Cam Ward and right that Miami program. And they were one of the better teams in the country. When you look back at that performance last year, with how much that was working against you in that game, is the result almost unbelievable that you were able to play at the level that you were in that game?
I don't think so, because, you know, with my mindset, the way I prepare, and it's not even just me, it's the whole team. Just the way we prepare together, and, you know, that wasn't a one-man effort. It wasn't really a duel. It was a team effort to beat Miami, and you have to do that. But like I said earlier with us and our goals taking that next step with being an ACC champion and a national champion, like, we can go in there games like that, and that should be our standard. That should be our floor. You know, that's the bottom of how we should play going into every game. And if we take care of business and handle one play at a time and one day at a time, one rep at a time, be where our feet are, everything will take care of itself.
I know you guys didn't end up winning the game up against Georgia, but you received so much praise after that. And I remember reading someone saying it's almost unfortunate that someone had to lose that game, but that's the nature of this sport. You took one of the better teams in the country into 8 overtimes, and you were unbelievable in that game. What do you think that game, even though it wasn't a victory, kind of did for your program now moving into this season?
I'd say it kind of put us on the map, and, you know, it's not just flukes where, you know, we play good sometimes and all that stuff, but like we can play with literally anybody, and not just play with them, compete and beat them when we take over business and, you know, execute the way that we know how. But that was a big jump, and like everybody said, there's winners and losers, and, you know, that it just wasn't our night. But it ain't going to make and break you. The sun's going to rise in the morning, but it's just how you respond to it. You know, that's why we wear bracelets. You can see it here. E plus R equals O. You know, event plus response equals outcome. And how you respond, you got to own it. And moving forward, that's what it has to be.
Are those bracelets new? Is that a this year thing, or is that from previous years too?
That was from the previous year. But I keep it on me, one on each hand. Doesn't matter where I look down, I'm going to see it. You know, you got to own your response. That's the other half of it.
You talked about how that game up against Georgia put you guys on the map. Would you say that this is the most confident, you know, with your time being there at Georgia Tech, that not only you have been, but also your teammates have been going into a season?
I think the confidence has always been there, but like, and then like, We were, I guess you'd say, last 2 years, you know, beating Miami, beating Florida State beginning of the year. Those were really good teams. So, like, we were always, I guess you'd say, like, oh, they beat them. They're on the map. But, you know, when we did that to Georgia, I think it, like, really, really put us on the map. Like, okay, they're not here to just play around. Like, they're here to compete and stay. And if you want a seat at the table, you're going to have to take it. And, you know, we're all for that, and we're going to have to take it this year and back up and improve on what we've done these past couple of years.
Where do you feel from a health standpoint? I know there's been, unfortunately, some injuries suffered through your career, but head into this season, how's the body feeling?
I mean, that's football. You're going to get injuries. You're going to get bumps and bruises. But, you know, if you take care of your body and do things the right way and handle yourself and do all that – You'll find ways to keep improving, just keep going. But I feel really, really healthy, shoulders back, throwing the ball good. Might have actually got even stronger. But other than that, like, you know, this is the time where, you know, you really take care of your body, what you eat, the way you treat it, recovery, whether it's you know, doing yoga or in the training room, fixing little small tweaks or whatever, because you want to feel good going into camp and even coming out of camp. This is what you're going to have to do and maintain. And also throughout the season, you've got to try to find a routine to consistently do that throughout the season as well.
I'm sure you're disciplined with the diet, but when you have a cheat meal, what's the cheat meal of choice if you just had to pick out and the calories don't count for a day?
I wouldn't say I'm too disciplined with the diet.
You made it sound that way.
I made it sound that way, but
you're one of us. That's what I just learned here.
Oh, yeah. Everybody. I mean, I love food. I guess you'd say I kind of somewhat eat like a big guy. I grew up with my dad. He was an offensive lineman. But, you know, if I had a cheat meal or if I wanted to eat bad, I like chicken, fried chicken, pizza, just stuff like that.
You're a chicken wing guy?
Yeah.
All right.
They got some good chicken wings in Atlanta too. So
yeah, but here's the thing: ranch or blue cheese? What do you go with?
Ranch.
Oh my God, Haynes.
Ranch. I don't like blue cheese.
I loved you up until this moment, but that's a character flaw with me. Like you gotta go blue cheese over ranch, but that's a Southern thing. That's what Jonathan Taylor pointed that out to me. If you talk to Southern guys, they like ranch. You talk to us East Coast guys, we're blue cheese guys.
That's fair.
Yeah, you were just raised the wrong way. That's the way that I look at it. Why did you stay at Georgia Tech? I have to ask that. This is just the nature of the sport that you have a season that you had. Other schools come calling. Why did you ultimately elect to say, okay, I'm going to stay put here?
You know, I just like the people in the building and what we're trying to build here. And we got a really good chance in building a championship program and a championship team this year. And, you know, I believe in Coach Key and what he's doing and even the coaches. You know, I just trust and believe in what we're doing, the players in the building. And, you know, I've never really been a part of anything just as great and how well organized and how much people work with each other in the communication aspect of every level, whether it's top or the bottom, with staff or with players.
Why were you guys the right fit? Because I look at Brent Key. He was sort of into a difficult situation. He impressed when he was the interim, then got the job, and has really run with it. But when you guys linked up, why was that a match that was a good one for not only him as a coach, but more importantly, you as a quarterback?
I'd say we're like-minded. And then he also kind of reminds me a lot of my dad. You know, he was also an offensive line guy, old school. He wants to run the ball and also as well as do things the right way. You know, he wants to build a championship program the right way, not toxic or anything like that. Like, he's going to be very open. He wants a player-led team and gives us opportunities to speak up. And he definitely listens and takes those things into account. But other than that, like, I just grown up around people like Coach Key, like my whole life, like I said, with my dad, and he's going to coach you hard, but he also wants the best for you.
Obviously, high school football was so big for you as a kid growing up around it, and then what you did in high school was very impressive. But when it comes to professional quarterbacks, or maybe even college quarterbacks when you were younger, who were some that really grabbed your attention and that you kind of watched a lot?
I watched Tom Brady a lot just because, I mean, like you were saying earlier, like a winner. You won't always want to be a winner. And he just find ways to win. It doesn't matter what people say about him, what they think. He just goes out, proves them wrong, and executes and takes it one play at a time and just keeps finding ways to stay at the top and continue to win.
You know, you're a tremendous dual-threat quarterback. Last year we saw improvement in terms of the turnovers getting cut down. Obviously there were some games or you're basically playing with one shoulder, so it's tough to evaluate. But you do have a strong arm, I know that. Where do you think you're at in the development as a passing quarterback when you take the dual threat out of it?
I think I'm still improving. You know, my trek is still increasing. It's not plateaued or anything like that. But like you said, it was about four games either I missed or I couldn't really throw. But to go from double digit picks like that to four or whether it was two, yeah, my bad, to two picks last year, it was, you know, that's just shows you how much I worked on my game and my craft and my consistency on the ball placement that off season. And that's going to continue to grow and develop. And, you know, like I said, I'm just continuing to get better each and every year.
And we talk about the injuries. I know they keep on coming up, but there was so much respect when, you know, other guys could have said, I'm not going to play, but you found a different way to win. What is that mentality that you just said, all right, I know I could barely throw in this game, but I'm still going to step up on the field and I'm still going to give it my all to the team. It's easier to say it, but then to actually do it, knowing how many more hits you're going to take, it takes a special person.
Oh, for sure. You know, I'm a team first guy. Whatever the team needs to win or succeed and put them in a really good position to do that, and I'm all for it. It doesn't matter if I have to throw it for 400, run it for 400, or hand it off. You know, whatever we have to do, like I was saying earlier, just find ways to win, find ways to move the ball, give people the ball, and it just gives our offense more chances to keep scoring. And I mean, the name of the game, if you score more points than the other team, you win. And then the other thing, like I was told as a young age, you know, with being quarterback, there's only one on the field. And you better not let nobody else in your huddle because you might not get it back. And that just goes back – it dates back to however long if you look at it. Like even Tom Brady, you know, he got in the huddle and he never let them have it back.
Yeah.
So
and replaced the highest quarterback, paid quarterback in the league at the time, in Drew Bledsoe. Yep. After that crazy contract. All right, before we let you run, Haynes King, just a few more. Georgia Tech quarterback this upcoming season, big expectations for the Yellow Jackets. You kick off the season against one of the more popular teams in the country, and that, of course, is Colorado. They won't have Travis Hunter this year. They won't have Shedeur Sanders, but Coach Prime is still there on the sideline. Just how about, from afar, what Coach Prime, you being a student of the game, has been able to do in short order with the Colorado football program?
I mean, Coach Prime, he's done a tremendous job, you know, putting that team together and the amount of talent that they have. And, you know, defensively, I've watched them a little bit on defense already. You know, the way that they, you know, play, they're going to play fast, play physical, rally to the ball. Not going to be a lot of mistakes. You know, they're going to try to play mistake-free football and just, you know, play fast and rally to the ball. And, you know, they're going to play physical, fast, and I mean, they're going to be coached really good because they have a lot of great coaches on that staff and great recruiters as well.
I know you don't play UNC, but having Belichick in the conference, what is that like?
I mean, I feel like that'll just increase our notoriety for this conference. You know, the past couple of years, I guess you'd say it's been going down. SEC and Big Ten has been taking that over, but that just, you know, increases and helps the whole conference out.
You know, when we get to the conversation of respect, people are talking about you as a top three quarterback entering the season, the ACC. People are saying positive things about your football program and also your coach. But still, most people are going to say, hey, this is Clemson's conference to lose. Do you feel as if Georgia Tech is getting the proper respect, or do you still feel as if your program's a little bit disrespected?
I mean, at times, you know, you're always going to feel a little disrespected. But I'm not really worried about that too much. You know, we're here right now, we're focusing on this team, what we got to do to get better and get better going into fall camp and getting better through fall camp. That's our main focus right now is fall camp and what we can do and how close we can become as a team for the season.
And then the last thing I'll ask you, you know, tough times build tough people. You look at what happened in your journey starting at A&M and now where you're at Georgia Tech. What did you really learn from your time with the Aggies at Texas A&M?
I mean, with Jimbo, he's a, you know, football quarterback mastermind. I learned a lot of football from him. I wouldn't, you know, change it for the world because I learned a lot of lessons, a lot of, you know, ways of the game and a lot of information from being there for those 3 years.
Well, Haynes, hey, good luck this upcoming season. We love watching you play last year, and good luck and good health this year, all right?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
There you go. Haynes King had an unbelievable season last year with Georgia Tech, and we'll see what's in store for the Yellow Jackets for this upcoming season. We will take a timeout when we come on back. We have a little update on Nikola Jokic and his potential contract extension. What does that mean for the future of the Denver Nuggets? We'll get into that on the other side.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer.
SummerSlam.
I know. I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So sometimes you read a headline and you say to yourself, okay, is it clickbaity? And when you read the article, does it kind of meet the headline? So I saw this all over Twitter yesterday, and it was sources, and this is from ESPN, Nikola Jokic delay extension talks until next summer. So I see that, and I know it's going to get spun. People are going to sit there, especially in the summer, especially with the stupid comments that Kroenke said, where basically unprovoked, he just brought up his biggest fear being having to trade Nikola Jokic one day. So when you factor in that kind of exchange in the media at the press conference where he's introducing the new leadership structure with the Denver Nuggets, and then you see this report yesterday, Nikola Jokic is going to delay his contract extension talks until next summer. I think it's low-hanging fruit when you're sitting here on the ninth day of July in the year of 2025, where, let's be real, there's not a ton going on in the sports world. Now, in my opinion, I don't think you need to then go to drastic lengths in order to provide content. I think there's always something going on in the sports world, but there's not a lot of big, big, big topics. Like, for example, you get the NFL and college football. You come in on a Monday after a college football Saturday and an NFL Sunday. 3 hours is usually not enough. And I usually feel like 3 hours is not enough. But in this case, you're going to have people, because of the headline and what Kroenke said a few weeks ago, people are going to be like, sound the alarms. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Is this the beginning of the end of Nikola Jokic with the Denver Nuggets? And when I say that, my response are two things. One, you either didn't read the article, or two, you're just doing lazy radio. I don't have a feeling, because of the fact that Nikola Jokic is going to delay his extension talks until next summer, that this means sound the alarms, Nikola Jokic is thinking about leaving the Denver Nuggets. And here's why. Because you get into the one, two, three, fourth paragraph in this article. By waiting until the 2026 offseason to work on an extension, the Nuggets star is able to add a fourth year at an additional $77 million, according to Bobby Marks. So he's eligible to sign this year a three-year, $200 million extension. That's up until October 20th. That's what Bobby Marks of ESPN said. If he waits till next offseason, he gets an additional $77 million. Now, I could hear people already saying this. At that point, what does it matter? Well, even when you're in that league, even when you're in that class, if all it takes is waiting 1 year when you're the face of the franchise, and not only the face of the franchise, you're the best player, period, in the NBA, you have nothing to lose by waiting another year. Even if you get hurt, even if you suffer an Achilles injury, or you blow out your ACL, you don't think Denver a year from now is going to say, yeah, we'll give you whatever you want? Write the blank check? Look at what Brooklyn gave Kevin Durant coming off his Achilles injury when he was with the Golden State Warriors, and he sat out an entire season. Look at the way money is just thrown around in the NBA. So I don't look at this. And I know, right, we love to make something a topic in the summer. But I don't sit here when I see this Denver Nuggets situation with Nikola Jokic. If you actually read the article, say, oh, is this Nikola Jokic wanting out? And we do this a lot. And Spike Eskin, my former boss, once said this to me. Foreign players usually don't request trades. You know, Luka Doncic was traded. Luka Doncic didn't want to leave the Dallas Mavericks. I feel as if the forcing of trades, demanding to go to other teams, it's kind of an American thing. And I don't view it in that lens. I would have never on my own thought about it. But Spike once said that to me when I was sitting there saying, hey, if I'm Joel Embiid, I would demand a trade from the Philadelphia 76ers when I said that 2-3 years ago. And foreign players, superstar foreign players, usually don't demand a trade. Usually don't try to force their way out. James Harden will force his way out. Kevin Durant will force his way out. LeBron James will force his way out. But what do we usually sit here? Who have been two names that people have been trying to trade for a while? It originally started Nikola Jokic, Giannis Antetokounmpo. They can't win a championship in Milwaukee. They can't win a championship in Denver. They'll just win MVPs. Well, then Giannis Antetokounmpo won a championship with Chris Middleton as his number two and an NBA Finals MVP. Nikola Jokic, he'll just win MVP. Yep. He wins an NBA championship and an NBA Finals MVP with Jamal Murray as the second best player. So I don't know maybe if it's just because it's Milwaukee and Denver that people keep on trying to force Giannis Antetokounmpo out of Milwaukee and keep on trying to force Nikola Jokic out of Denver. And Giannis at least plays into it more. Giannis at least says, hey, you got to go do this. And every time, whether it's a big move or not, the Bucks answer. You know, the Bucks got him Jrue Holiday. The Bucks got him Dame Lillard. Even though I don't think Miles Turner is the end of the world in terms of them winning a championship or not, because I don't think that's a great player. But Giannis wanted him. So you got him, and that's why it's a big move. But for Denver, has I ever thought to myself, or have I ever thought to myself, yeah, Nikola Jokic wants out? I don't. He's a different kind of superstar. He's low-key. I think Denver's a good fit for him. And also, you just saw the year that he had. That roster needs work. Don't get me wrong. He wants improvements made. They've made improvements this offseason. But think about where they were. The Denver Nuggets last year fired their coach and their general manager 3 games before the postseason started. And they got to the second round of the playoffs, and they took a team that ended up winning the NBA championship and is one of the better teams in the history of the league. Not the best, but one of the better teams in the history of the league. They took them to a 7th game. So are the Denver Nuggets really that far away from winning another championship? I don't think so. I don't. And if I look at the pecking order in the Western Conference right now, number one, it's OKC. Number two, after the Kevin Durant trade, I would probably say it's the Houston Rockets. Then after that, who's third? And for me, with it being third, it's easily the Denver Nuggets. Like the other teams that you could consider, you know, Minnesota, no. Golden State, no. Dallas, are they going to be healthy even? There's already injury stuff with Anthony Davis. And we don't know when Kyrie's coming back. So last year, 1 and 2 in the Western Conference was the Thunder and the Rockets. The Thunder won a championship. The only reason they were doubted was because they haven't done it yet. The Rockets got better this offseason adding Kevin Durant. The Lakers or the Nuggets, they both had 50 wins. So do the Clippers. I would say the third spot gets reserved right now for the Denver Nuggets in the Western Conference. And they are a legitimate championship contender this year. So this idea that, oh, it should be a cause for concern because Nikola Jokic is delaying his extension talks until next summer. I don't think it's delaying it because he wants to leave. It's because he wants the extra $77 million. But people will spin that in a different way. Also in this ESPN article, Josh Kroenke, the Nuggets president, said the team will offer its franchise star an extension this summer, but also understood how it could be beneficial to the Joker to sign one next summer as well. We're definitely going to offer it, Kroenke told reporters recently. I'm not sure if he's going to accept it or not because we're going to explain every financial parameter around him signing now versus signing later. To be completely transparent, that's the way we always are. And then he makes the best decision for himself and his family. We'll support him in it. Yeah. I don't think there's any chance that we're sitting here talking about legitimate trade conversations with Nikola Jokic. It was stupid that Josh Kroenke, not that he did it there, but that he brought it up a few weeks ago, and that was just a dumb thing to say. But this report the other day that, oh, he's delaying extension talks until next summer, Nikola Jokic, that's what sources are telling ESPN. Yeah, he's delaying it because if he waits one more year, and he's the best player in the league, and even if he gets injured, it doesn't matter, he's going to make $77 million more. So it's pretty simple to me. There's a weird fascination in the NBA community on trying to force stars out of markets that aren't the creme de la creme markets. We're obsessed with trying to get Giannis out of Milwaukee. We're obsessed, or not obsessed, but there's been an inclination, at least a conversation, a talk now. Giannis, I think people are obsessed. Joker, I don't, to be clear. But people at least talking about maybe Nikola Jokic leaving. Heck, their own owner even did it, which was stupid. But right now, do I feel like Giannis is leaving Milwaukee? No. Do I, and as much as I say no there, do I think there's even a remote chance right now that Nikola Jokic, in the immediate future, the next 2 to 3 years, is going to be leaving the Denver Nuggets? No. I don't think so. So there's that report from yesterday. All righty, we'll come on back. This NFL Top 100 list is slowly getting released. There's already some takeaways and some reactions to it and some things that we'll look ahead for on these NFL Top 100 rankings that are always controversial. Always controversial. And I feel like they never... Like last year, let's just do a little exercise here. Samter or Connor, do you think you could remember who the number one player was on the NFL Top 100 last year? The number one player. Any idea? Let's see if we could get a guess out of either Connor or Santhier. Who was the number one player?
Was it Myles Garrett?
Good guess, but incorrect.
Not sure why Justin Jefferson's coming to my head.
It was not Justin Jefferson. But
I don't believe he was a quarterback, though.
It was not a quarterback. Connor is in the ballpark. That's as far as
was
I
was. Was it Tyreek Hill?
Was Tyreek
Hill. It was Tyreek Hill.
I said this at the time. Tyreek Hill had an unbelievable season. And it's based off what you just did this past year, right? Going into this upcoming season. Tyreek Hill had an unbelievable season. With how much we rely on quarterbacks in the NFL and how quarterbacks are not only the most important position in the game, but the most important position in sports, a quarterback has to be one. They're not always one in terms of when these dopey rankings come out. But look at where Tyreek Hill was last year to where Tyreek Hill is this year. He won't even be in the top 10. For this upcoming, it won't even be close, I would imagine, to the top 10 for this upcoming season. But yeah, last year, Tyreek Hill was number one. So we will preview the NFL Top 100. Let's already give you some of the rankings that come on out when we return after these short messages. Update time first. Here's the
ready to level up. Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right. On audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Yakman. All righty, welcome back in. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. So this NFL Top 100 list is slowly starting to get released. They've done players 100 through 81 so far. I have a love-hate relationship with this list because I feel as if in a lot of years, for whatever reasons, they don't put a quarterback in at number one. The thing I look for is how do they rank the quarterbacks? Then wide receiver-wise, it's become fascinating with guys like Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson and Tyreek Hill and CeeDee Lamb, just to name a few. And then the pass rushers are always fun. Especially with this battle with Myles Garrett and T.J. Watt, Max Crosby, Micah Parsons through the last few years. But it's tough for me to say that when a quarterback doesn't go one, that they got the list right. And there were some years, right, where you had Aaron Donald be the first player. There was also other years where don't get me wrong, Drew Brees was obviously one of the all-time great quarterbacks, but there was one year where I think it was when Mahomes threw, it may have been his first year, when Mahomes threw 50 touchdowns, how they put Drew Brees in front of Patrick Mahomes, or maybe it was a little bit later than that. It just, it never made any sense to me. But they've been doing this list since 2011. The number one players in 2011 was Brady, 2012 Rodgers, 2013 AP, 2014 Peyton Manning, 2015 J.J. Watt, 2016 Cam, 2017, 2018 Tom Brady, 2019 Aaron Donald, 2020 Lamar Jackson, 2021 Patrick Mahomes, 2022 Tom Brady, 2023 Patrick Mahomes, and then last year Tyreek Hill. So it's a few years. You know, Tyreek Hill, Donald, J.J., and Adrian Peterson, all four heck of a players, where they didn't put a quarterback number one. But anyway, we look at the list so far this year. Or I'll ask it this way before I give you the list so far this year. I'll ask this to you, Samter. How do you think they'll rank just the quarterbacks? Not in terms of who's going to be the best player, because I do think this year, if I ask you this, who do you think will be the number one player this year? NFL Top 100, who's the first player you think that, and especially knowing sometimes how the way that this goes, how it doesn't always have to be a quarterback, who do you think will be number one?
Either Saquon or Josh Allen.
I think it's going to be Saquon.
Probably.
And now, that's you tipping your hand and you thinking Josh Allen's going to be the first-ranked quarterback, right?
I don't think he should be, but I think he will be.
I think he should be. I don't think he will be. I think Lamar is going to be number one in terms of quarterbacks. Because I do think Saquon's going to be the first player. You got to see where they're going to rank a Trey Hendrickson, where they're going to rank a Myles Garrett. You know, I do think Trey Hendrickson, even though he led the league in sacks, I do think the first defensive player off the board is going to be Myles Garrett. Now, here's the thing. Neither of them won defensive player of the year. It was Pat Surtain. Like, Pat Surtain has to be in the top 10. He is easily the best corner in football. People before the year tried to tell me it was Sauce Gardner. Sauce Gardner did not have a good season. Pat Surtain not only had a great season, he won the defensive player of the year. But I think for quarterbacks, Lamar is actually going to be one. Josh is going to be two, even though I would go Josh one, Lamar two. And then do they have another quarterback before Patrick Mahomes is the question. Do you think there's a quarterback that's ranked before Mahomes? Like Joe Burrow led the league in passing yards and passing touchdowns. Jalen Hurts won a freaking Super Bowl and was a Super Bowl MVP. Will there be... If I tell you NFL Top 100, Mahomes, will he be the third quarterback this year? What do you say?
I say yes.
Oh, don't forget Burrow, about Jaden Daniels, too.
Now, Jaden Daniels won't be ahead of Burrow or, I mean, Hurts would be ahead of Jaden Daniels.
Honestly,
because he won the title.
But remember, this is a player-voted list. What Jaden Daniels did, new flavor, unbelievable. He's already in the top six, seven quarterbacks in the league. It wouldn't surprise me if Jaden Daniels is higher than what you think in this list.
I think he'll be high, but I still think he'll be fifth or sixth as far as quarterbacks. I still think he'll be Allen, Lamar, Mahomes, Burrow ahead of him. And I think Jalen Hurts is going to get some love for winning a Super Bowl. But, yeah, I think Mahomes will be the third quarterback. To answer your question, I think Burrow might be because he led the league in basically every category.
Gun to your head, who's the third quarterback?
I mean, my guy, my favorite team of all time, Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
Let's go.
I think Mahomes should be three. Now, I would still rank Mahomes as the best quarterback in football, but I understand this factors in last season, and a bad season for Mahomes is losing in the Super Bowl or not winning a Super Bowl.
And starting 15-1.
Yeah, I had a lot of lucky wins, let's be real.
Lucky or not, you wouldn't go...
No, I'd rather be lucky than good. I say that all the time. I was just being sarcastic there, a little tongue-in-cheek. But I'm curious the order of the quarterbacks if they put at least three quarterbacks in front of Mahomes. Because if you tell me Burrow, Allen, and Lamar are in front of him, like, it's tough to debate in terms of what just happened this past season. Anyway, though, Ladd McConkey was in at 100. Leonard Williams in at 99. Aaron Jones was in at 98. Drake London was in at 97. One of the more underrated players in the league, and he's been that way for a long time. He's an old, old player now, but he's still phenomenal. 96 is Levante David of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Had 122 tackles last year. Josh Sweat, who's now with the Cardinals but was with the Eagles last year, he was 95, had 9 tackles for loss and 8 sacks. Sam Laporta, one of the better tight ends in the league, he was finding his way on this list at 94. That is down 14 spots from last year. Levante David, by the way, moved up 3 spots last year, and all the other players that I mentioned so far were not ranked this time last year. Creed Humphrey. You know what's crazy? Creed Humphrey is ranked at 93. So Creed Humphrey, who's obviously on the Kansas City Chiefs, he was not in 2024 or going on last year, he wasn't ranked at the top 100. That's a little bit surprising for me. Jesse Bates is down 18 spots, but he's in at 92. And that's a guy, I know it's been some years now. That Bengals defense has not been the same since Jesse Bates has left. Tua Tagovailoa, he is down 55 spots. He's in at 91. See, it's tough for me to evaluate this right now, Mike, because I could sit there and say, oh, Tua's at 91. And I don't think, especially because he got hurt last year, but he actually kind of showed his worth when how bad that offense was and how clueless Mike McDaniel looked. I don't know if that's a fair ranking yet, because I got to see how many quarterbacks they put in front of Tua Tagovailoa. Like, personally, I think there are 10 quarterbacks with, based off what happened in the NFL last year, that are in front of Tua. But with Tua being the first quarterback on this list at 91, how many other quarterbacks are they going to show and put in the top 100? But we're at 91 right now. Tua fell 55 spots from last year.
That to me, I think, is, it's insulting, because I'm not saying Tua is a Super Bowl caliber quarterback, but when he is healthy, that was one of the most explosive, if not the most explosive offense in the entire NFL. And whenever he got hurt, they were inept and anemic. So it's not just the offense. It's not just Mike McDaniel. It's not just Tyreek Hill or Devon Achane or
Devon Achane.
Devon Achane. I'm still in off-season mode. Yeah. Or Waddle, right? Clearly, the quarterback has a big factor there, because no matter who else quarterbacks that team when he's hurt, does not succeed. So I think Tua, when he's healthy, has to get more credit. So this to me feels a little bit insulting.
But I will still say, like, my top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL right now, in this order, are Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Jalen Hurts, Jaden Daniels, Matthew Stafford, CJ Stroud, Baker Mayfield, Jared Goff. Like, Jared Goff has done more, and Tua has a ton. I'm not saying Jared Goff doesn't have pieces around him. Obviously, he has a great offensive line. And obviously Baker Mayfield has pieces around him, but Tua has Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, right? And the big thing for Tua is the health. Like, look what CJ Stroud has done. Look at the way that he's been able with Nico Collins to make that an unbelievable 1-2 punch. All right, so that's 100 through 91. Now I'll give you 90 through 81 here. Zach Allen, who wasn't ranked last year, is with the Broncos in at 90. Think about that defense with Sertan, Benito, Zach Allen. You know, they add in some of the guys from the 49ers. That's a heck of a defense in Denver. James Cook is in at 89. Now, my first reaction was I thought that was low. James Cook actually had a better year than I actually remembered last year. He had a better year than what the stats would say. I thought we talked about James Cook in a big way. He only had 1,009 rushing yards last year. He had 16 rushing touchdowns, so that's the big number. And then 258 receiving yards, but I thought he had more than 1,009 rushing yards. Andrew Van Ginkel, 88, wasn't ranked last year. Quinnen Williams down 50 spots. He's in at 87. Laremy Tunsil down 15 spots. Now he's with the Commanders, but he wrapped up last year with the Texans. He's in at 86. Kyren Williams, who's a touchdown machine, has been a touchdown machine for a long time. He's down 7 spots. He's ranked 85. And this says through 81, but for some reason the list cuts off right there. So maybe we only got 85 out there, 100 through 85 right now. So that's the latest on the NFL top 100 list. All righty, we will take a break. When we come on back, we'll do a little onside offside. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer.
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait. There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.